listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you all. Today feels like somewhat of a Monday, a little dreary, but pretty good so far. So far, no complaints. We haven't received any blistering cold, so there's a lot to be grateful for. Just a small recap of last week's show about, you know, Pastor, Reverend, Doctor, whatever his name was, from Gloucester County, the church. We talked about the trusting of individuals, but we won't hash on that for too long. I just wanted to keep you guys aware that you have to keep your eyes open for predators out there. And guys, by the way, I got an update on that pastor. You know, he left one situation to go into another situation. Remember, he was arrested, but he was never formally charged due to his ties to the prosecution community out there. And he never was charged with the molestation of this child that I have since met. And, you know, it's a little emotional for all involved because you're dealing with a child. But I just wanted to say this pastor, Reverend Doctor, he has moved on to a child petting zoo. So I wanted to update you guys with that. So just because they're not in the church don't mean that they're not lingering out there somewhere, you know, looking to victimize someone's child in their day-to-day duties. So keep your eyes open and stay very aware. You know, there's things going on. Women are in Walmart, supermarkets, they're shopping. The kids are running like wild animals through the store. Keep your kids beside you. Even if you have to put them in the shopping cart, keep them with you, because you hear the stories all the time. Pedophiles are snatching up kids. They're touching them down the aisle. Parents are all shopping, having a good time on their cell phones, not paying attention. So be very aware. This is the holiday season. And, you know, trafficking, human trafficking is very real today. But what I wanted to talk to you guys about today is a guy. His name is Scary Daddy, which is a baby's daddy of a young lady by the name of Cece. And Cece had wanted to discuss her situation today on the show concerning how you can be wrongfully accused of doing things that you really didn't have anything to do with. Now, this goes back to her being involved, having a child with this young man, Scary Daddy, and this guy actually torturing her through her whole pregnancy. And she's going to come on the show today and she's going to discuss some of the things that he did that was very torturous to her. You know, and things that she did in return that she was actually found guilty of, she was arrested for, something that she was arrested for that she really didn't do nor participate in the act. She comes from a very distraught background. And I believe we talked about at some time, you know, letting people know too much about your life and how they use that as a weapon against you when either the relationship or the friendship is over. They taunt you with what they know about you and what they know about your past, and more importantly, what they know about your family. And, you know, I think I discussed with you guys, it's, you know, during my domestic violence month, not everybody you want to introduce to your family. Remember the crazy Newark cop I was married to? He never met my relatives. He never met my siblings besides one of them that happened to be with me one particular day. Some people you just cannot bring home. You cannot introduce them once you see a psychotic episode. When you see a psychotic episode, you have to definitely back away. Now, in Cece's life, with her son's father, Scary Daddy, he actually plays the victim And then he comes back around. Now, it's kind of weird that someone would play the victim and still want to come around. Like, you want to hang around after you're saying, guess what? I'm getting a restraining order. Stay away from me. You're nuts. I want nothing to do with you. And then you're like, I want us to be a happily ever after, you know? And she's like, well, I love you and all, but you're crazy. Why would you still want to be with me after I cut your tires? I made a mistake. I cut three and I missed one. So I cut your tires and you still want to take me back. Now, this is very, very toxic. This is very strange. Now, you know, in her situation, she's the real victim here. She may be guilty of doing some things, but in most relationships, people have a tendency to not tell the entire truth. They withhold evidence. I got a phone call today, by the way, guys, not detouring from CC and Scary Daddy, but I got a phone call today about a guy that is actually stalking a young lady, and she's afraid that he may do something crazy to her, you know? And she's like, he keeps stalking me. He's following me. I have a new man now. I'm afraid that he may take my life as well as my new boyfriend's life. She caught him today hiding in the bushes by her house. So this can be very scary, guys, especially when mentally he's probably thinking he's still her boyfriend to some capacity. And she believes that he hallucinates and thinks that they're still together. And it can be deadly. I've seen a lot of these situations, as you guys may know. You read the news every day. You see ex-boyfriend kills ex-girlfriend and then kills the ex-wife. This was actually a true story that just was publicized in Philadelphia. You know, the guy said, you know, they both were getting on my nerves. I wanted them both. They both couldn't get along. They were always fighting, meaning the ex-wife and the ex-girlfriend. So he took it upon himself to just kill them both and be done with it. So this is how these deadly situations can take place. And for the sake of some people out here today to keep their sanity, they want to stay at bay. They want to stay single, you know, and it's nothing wrong with staying single. But you remember Joe Being Joe and Wife 215, that whole crazy scenario? You know, that's the prime example of how things could go bad. And I know Joe's probably listening to this topic today and saying, I'm not being Joe. Actually, Joe Being Joe is a really good guy. You know, I don't want to paint a bad image of him. And Wife 215, she's actually a beautiful person. She's very calm. She's very mellow. So a lot of things that happened in that situation that could have turned deadly, you remember, guys? Because Larry, the girl next door, Larry, she actually filed charges twice against Joe Being Joe for one, you know, she said he wanted to have a little something, and that was not accurate. That was incorrect information. But she was hallucinating in her mind that he was her man. I don't want to say he was his man, because that sounds kind of weird for Joe Being Joe, knowing that Joe Being Joe is straight. So I just want to say that these things sometimes can be very toxic. We've discussed a lot on this show about toxic situations and how they can turn deadly. And then before you know it, if it's on a federal level, and then here I go waving my hand, hi, it's me again, you know, you got any information? You know, because my ears, they grow like Pinocchio. So, you know, it's better to stay safe out here today. If you're with one person, stay with that one person, enjoy that one person, because there's no good that's going to come to Larry trying to steal Wife 215's husband, trying to steal her life and be her at the end of the day. So it's better to just Don't be friendly, guys. And ladies, you too, because sometimes guys could be thinking in their mind that we're together and we're really not together. Okay? It's a two-way street when it comes to that type of stuff. You know, and sometimes women hallucinate a little more than the men do. I mean, I've had my own problems. I'm not going to say I haven't. I've had women want to marry my husband and thinking, yeah, this guy really likes me and he's going to marry me. But that never happened. So in their minds, they were thinking, you know, that he was going to be their husband at some capacity. But, you know, it's all an illusion that comes into play, because women sometimes, they are smart, but not smart, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, sometimes a woman can feel like a guy likes them. And I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day. As a matter of fact, he's a radio personality, and I'm going to get him on the show one day so he can break down what he meant by, you know, you sleep with them and then they believe that it's a relationship, and it's really not a relationship. It's just something that happened. And unfortunately, for the ones that get heartbroken in between, they never seem to recover. And moving forward with their lives, it ends up becoming a toxic situation for the next person that comes along. Either it's deadly, or it's deadly violent, or it's murder-suicide. I mean, there's so many things that can happen. You know, there's a guy that actually went to his wife's job, and you guys might have heard about this story because this was deep. He went to her job, poisoned the whole water dispenser, you know, the water that gets the Poland Spring in the container that comes commercially to the jobs. Some have the water coolers at home. He poisoned the entire water cooler because he knew his wife was the only one that drank this water, made her tea every day, made her coffee every day from the water in this cooler, and he put cyanide in it. Little did he know, she stopped drinking water out of that water cooler because they just purchased a new Keurig for the whole office. And now people, instead of making hot tea in the microwave and hot coffee in the microwave, they had the Keurig. Before you know it, guess what? People at her job started dropping dead like flies being swatted out of the air. You ever seen the fly traps? You catch them and they die. This is what happened. And then they realized, they went back to the video cameras and they said, someone had to be in here to cause this action to happen. They went back to the cameras and saw that it was her husband who used her job key the night before, coming in, putting cyanide in the water cooler. Meanwhile, this woman didn't drop dead, but several people at her job did. Now, he was arrested. He eventually didn't want to go to jail, so he hung himself in the holding facility that he was in, because he couldn't believe that he went through this much trouble to kill his wife, but killed 10 other people at her job. And this woman was still walking around like, doo-doo-doo-doo, nothing happened to me. I'm still in good shape. So this is what I mean about mentally, the mind, you know, he's figuring out, I'll just kill her at work. No one will ever find out I killed her. You know, no gun, no knife, no, you know, bondage, no digging a ditch. Better drink some water and just watch her keel over. You know, I mean, the mindset of these people and how it works is just a little bit too crazy. But guys and gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, it's better to just leave those type of situations alone, because at the end of the day, it can be very, very toxic for you and deadly. So hang tight, guys. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Hey guys, glad you're back again. Listen, you know, you're never too old to learn. I just found out something interesting today, and that is if you have order of protection against a person and you guys share children together or a child, if you give this child as the mother to the father and he has the protective order against you, you have no legal rights to that child. I'm not sure how many people are aware of this particular situation and how the laws kind of put you in a straitjacket. And this is about Scary Daddy and Cece. And Cece was explaining to me that her child's father, Scary Daddy, actually kidnapped her son, and she had no way of recovering her child back until she actually went to court. And he basically, Scary Daddy, he's so scary. He's like, you know, I got custody and that's it. He's with me because I have the protective order and you're not supposed to come anywhere near me. So this is kind of a strange story. Cece tells me that Scary Daddy is a cop caller. Now, it's one thing, guys, if you have to call the cops. And I tell you what, you got to call the cops sometimes because you never know when tragedy can hit home and you have to pick up the phone and dial 911, be it to save your life or a family member. But when you utilize the system as a shield to make up a lie and to falsely accuse someone of doing something to you that they didn't do, that is a crime within itself. There are many people locked up today for crimes that they really didn't commit. You know, it's a very sad thing. Myself, I was just in the Philadelphia Detention Center visiting with a client, an inmate, someone that is on a case that I'm a part of. And the person is shouting and screaming, and they're saying how innocent they are and they had nothing to do with it. And they were really trying to defend themselves. You know, any state that you're in, you know, because many, many law enforcement officials will say self-defense does not exist. I beg to differ. If you can prove your case to say that you were first offended and you had the right to defend yourself, you cannot legally, in any court of law, be held liable. You know, the Rittenhouse case. This basically spells it out for you. You know, everybody tried to make it a racist thing. It's not racist. When it comes to self-defense, you have the right to defend yourself, but you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that is what you had to do. If you cannot prove that, then you may be into a world of trouble. So it's called the burden of proof. It's up to you to prove your case that you were the one that were initially the intended target. You know, and then I handle juvenile cases, which are cases that are very tough at times because I have to go into the juvenile jail, the kiddie jail, and I have to hear these kids. you know, say, I want to go home. And it's kind of hard because these, you know, I'm a parent. Remember that? I'm a parent. And it's kind of hard hearing these kids crying out for help. You know, I want my mom. I want to go home. And you're not going home, kid. You're in jail, you know, and it's kind of rough seeing this with these babies. I call them babies because 13, 14, I've seen them as young as 12 being charged as an adult, you know, and they're clueless as to what did I really do? You know, it's really out here with no guidance today. You know, they're into pills, marijuana, fentanyl, you name it. They're toting guns. You know, they're the next grown man on the block. According to them, they have to be the protector. And that's what makes me say that men need to step up when it comes to taking their role into another young man's life. It doesn't have to be your kid, by the way. You know, a lot of us are like, I don't want the problem. It's not my responsibility. It's not my kid. Well, sometimes you can't save them all. But if you can save one, just take one and offer him something different, or her, because it's not only young men that are incarcerated. It's young ladies also that's incarcerated that want to be a part of the gang world and the drug world, you know, selling narcotics and getting in trouble. You know, it happens. It happens. And this is very readily here in front of us today of all of the things that are causing the crimes on the street. It's costing taxpayers billions of dollars a year to house these kids. Because remember, now they're in a place where someone has to be treating them like, that's my kid. I have to make sure they're fed. If they need their asthma pump, I have to make sure they have their asthma pump. If they need clean socks, they need their school books. Because just because they're a juvenile and they're incarcerated does not mean that they're not getting an education. They're being educated in that jail cell. And it's a very hard thing to witness today because you see the generation that's next that's supposed to be caring for the elderly, which by the time I turn 85, 90 years old, who's going to wipe my butt? That's what I'm thinking. Who's going to change my diaper? You know, if I'm not able to change it myself, it's the next generation. And I would say my generation of people that are going to be older, and we're not going to have any home health aides. We're not going to have any nurses. We're not going to have any health companions. Physical therapy will be gone because that generation of kids, it's gone with the wind. So the new trainees are the new criminals. And this is what our generation has to either accept or do something about it. Because that generation that is falling short of guidance, they're crying out for help. They're being subjected to too many adult problems. Daddy's left home, so I have to be the next man of the house because my mother can't work two jobs and buy me the sneakers I want. I can't get that Polo Ralph Lauren bear coat for $500 because my mom can't afford it. That's our monthly rent or something near it. So these kids are being put into adult situations and people are wondering, why are they growing up so fast? They're growing up so fast because they don't have a choice. They're being put into a grown-up situation. You know, and I was talking to someone today about, actually, I was talking to my husband and he was talking to a friend of his on the phone. And I was talking about the old doll factory in Brooklyn, you know, and he was kind of wondering like, well, how do you know about this factory? That was around back in the 80s. Like, where were you at? You know, back in those days, my mother came to the country as an immigrant from the Dominican Republic. So did her sisters and her brothers. They all came here illegally, and they got jobs. You know, back in the 80s, if you didn't have paperwork to get a job, you still got a job. But you got a job in a factory. You know, that you couldn't be a police officer, a lawyer, a doctor. You couldn't get into that profession. You had to work in a factory. So I was explaining to them today how sometimes when my mom had to work late, my aunt, because it was so many of us, it was 9 kids my mom had. So my aunt would take 2 of us with her because she had to deal with her boss that, you know, I have to watch my nieces or whatever the case may be. Can I bring them to work with me? So we were allowed to come to the factory, which was the baby doll factory. You know, it was dolls with those old ceramic faces. You know, one day I'll get into the topic of that factory and a little history of it. But we would go with her to work in the factory because my mom couldn't find a babysitter for all of us. And guys, it's one thing I'll never be ashamed of. And that's where I'm from, you know. And I wished like hell that I was actually born in the United States. I wish that I was given all the equal opportunities as every American that's in the United States today. I was never given that opportunity because my last name says something totally different. And I get that a lot, guys. I get stereotyped by my last name. I'll tell you this. I'll share this with you really quick, and we'll get Cece on. But I made a phone call to a pastor, right? She gave me her phone number. We exchanged numbers. So I called her just to say hello. She saw my name on her caller ID. She said, Torres. She said, is that a Latino name? And I'm like, yes. And she's like, well, all of you guys are really the same, but what part of the Spanish continent are you from? You know, I found it to be a little racist and off track for her being a pastor, even trying to judge my nationality. Because if you look at me, the color of my skin is like a black person. I'm pecan tan. And if you talk to me, I speak like I'm a regular American person, you know. And she basically said, you guys are all the same. One Spanish to another Spanish, you're all the same. So the conversation was brief and short, but it goes to show that still with all of the rights and freedom of speech and Latino rights in this country, that people will still stereotype you because of your name. Now, you know, I have friends that will come on this air and they'll tell you, listen, for years we never knew her name because I always wanted to be treated fairly. I wanted to be treated like one of the real American people that was born in the United States. I wanted to be treated equally, you know, and it's very hurtful sometimes because you figure what people would say with a black president that we've had, racism should be to a halt. Not at all, guys, you know, and it's sad that we had to revisit that particular topic. But for the most part, my aunt worked in a factory as an immigrant making baby dolls. I had another aunt that worked in a clothing factory that was a rag factory initially. It was more like an updated thrift shop that you guys would go to today. And clothes were being weighed by the pound. They didn't sell it by the piece. They weighed it by the pound. So I have some history of factories and, you know, how things went back then for immigrants. And I have a family member or two that would like to come on the show. But let's get Cece on. Let's hear her story today, guys. Hey, Cece, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just talking about you not too long ago about guilty, but not guilty. So I wanted to ask you a few questions about your child's father, Scary Daddy. I wanted to ask you, what kind of toxic relationship do you guys have?
Oh my goodness. Where should I start?
Well, first let's start about, you know, let me ask you, how old is he?
He's 24. I'm 23.
You're 23, he's 24. So there, a couple of days ago, he was at your house and you noticed something.
We had like this love, hate, crazy ass relationship because we've known each other since we were like 14 years old. And then we had a kid when we was 19. So we've known each other basically forever. But we hate the shit out of each other. And yeah, he comes to my house with this black eye. Talking about he was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
So, is Scary Daddy dating someone right now?
Yes, he's dating an old-ass lady. I think she's about 40 years old. And don't mind the background. I'm trying to put something on for the week.
So Stella wanted to get her groove back, you think?
Oh my goodness. She wants, you know, women, they want it. Some likes to be submissive, and then there's others that want to be dominant. And this lady, I don't know, what do you get out of a guy that has two kids and can't even take care of herself?
Well, Cece, tell me about the time that he told you that he couldn't get your child to you because he was driving your car, the car broke down. But what really happened with the car that day?
Say that again.
There was a time where he
what
had
was the last question?
And he told you he was driving your car and the car broke down. But what really happened to the car that day?
It was bringing out of gas. So I was working, of course, because he couldn't. Allegedly, and he had watched the baby for me, and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to get off, come and get me, and you know, bring my son, we'll drop you off. He calls back and tells me that my car isn't working. So I'm like, okay, I just got the second car, so I know the shit works. So I'm like, are you sure it's not out of gas? And he's telling me no, whatever. So I come, mind you, he's parked in the street from the parking lot in the car, cold as shit with the baby. I come and to get my car. It's just out of gas, but he got a bottle of liquor in his hand. So obviously you have money. He just didn't want to put gas in my car.
Wow.
So he ran the gas out, did whatever he had to do all fucking day. Then when it was time for me to get my car and my son, it just was like, it is what it is.
So let me ask you, why does he have a restraining order against you?
Oh my goodness. This being is scared of me. I am evil, allegedly. I terrorize him. He fears for his life because of me. We had a pretty bad argument once upon a time, and he had got beat up by some team members and blamed it all on me.
So he got beat up.
And like I orchestrated it, I set him up. I knew it was going to happen. He was innocent. Like he just out of nowhere, I followed him, and it just was fabricated.
So he lied on you?
Yes. First of all, we were together. I didn't know that was about to happen to him. We were together, leaving the baby daycare.
So while they're like. Was it a group of people or was it one person?
It was one person. We were coming out of daycare. I guess he doesn't watch his surroundings, but there was a man approaching us. We both like turned around. They had words they fought and that was it. But he blinked everything on me. He even said, even though he drove off perfectly fine, he was okay. He said that I damaged his car and like crashed it. Just like made up so many lies about me. To get the PFA order. Because you know you have to make it sound good in order to get protection.
Wow. So when you were pregnant, I remember you told me something about him torturing you. Like, what kind of torture did you endure during your pregnancy?
Oh my goodness. He would like, he was going like taking Xanax, taking Xannies. So he'll get like mad aggressive. He'll like fight me, using me, like coming to my house, needing a place to stay, needing money, shelter, food, everything. Like, that's what I consider torture, because that's taking advantage of someone.
And you come from a past of, you know, and unfortunately, you know, and it happens to some people where you start telling people your business and your family members are involved. And, you know, you start sharing intimate secrets about things that you've gone through as a child. Did he ever?
And he was he's a narcissist. So he uses it against you. Like, anything you tell him, he will use it against you until you can't use it no more. So that was his thing. Like, he knew it was shit that was like sentimental to me. He would use it as a trigger.
So, like, what were some of the things that were like a trigger point?
He would just bring up like my upbringing with my mom, basically like how, you know, the shit that my mom had going on, her own personal business. He knew about it because he was around. So he would like bring that up and try to use that against me as my character being a mom. Just basically like, I would never like be nobody. I would never have shit. I would be just like my mom. Cause she like, she did drugs and stuff. So he just was like basically doubting me and trying to make me insecure, saying that I would never be shit, have shit, do shit. And I'd just be a single mom on welfare and shit. Which is not the case, guys, because I'm that bitch now.
Have you ever used drugs before?
No.
What deters you and keeps you going from that path?
Say that again.
What keeps you from saying, you know, no, I'm not doing drugs?
I mean, because my mom was on drugs and I've seen how it tore her up. So it was just like, that gave me that drive to never want to like be like that. I always wanted to be the best mom I could ever be. Plus, I'm not easily influenced. Like, just because somebody else is doing some shit, they don't got nothing to do with it.
So you basically retaliated against him at one time, right?
I wouldn't say it was a retaliation because I had no knowledge of it. But
well, you ever damage his property? Did you ever damage any of his property?
Yeah. Oh, so like he was like, okay, one thing about me. I can take the rules with the punches, but only with so much, you know? You know, motherfuckers explode and shit. Nobody got time. They keep taking backlash and you talking shit. So I went to his job and I flat out was fucking crying. Not knowing he had a PFA order on me.
And you were arrested for that?
Then, yes. We had an incident where he, like, kidnapped my son. And when I went to basically meet him at the district to get my son, they told me I was under arrest, that I had a warrant out for my arrest since fucking February, and this was in August.
Wow. So are you guys together now, or are you guys, like, does he want you back?
We are like, we have like a, yeah, he still wants to, I don't know what to think for taunting me. Like, he says that he wants to see anything, but I know he does not. But because he's cool where he's at. He has a woman that takes care of him and puts up with all his infidelities and the weird shit that he do. He know I'm not going for this shit. So he just says it to be around, I guess. But no, he comes and he tells me that he wants to be with me and the baby, but I mean, that's not the case.
Well, Cece, you know, it's like a lot of people chiming in that have questions that they want me to ask you. Would you mind coming back on the show one day to answer these questions? Because we're going to need some time to get through these rolls of questions that are coming in.
Okay. They can ask me wherever they want to know.
Okay. I look forward to having you back on the show. And thanks for coming on tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. I had to take a deep breath, guys. I mean, 24, she's 23. He's dating a 40-year-old. She goes to pick up her son from the police department. She's arrested. She cut tires. She has a warrant. He tortured her, humiliated her during the pregnancy. He accused her of getting him beat down, and she was actually at the scene with him. Kind of strange that, I don't know, she seems like she was pretty like a strong girl. She seems like she would have fought back. Just kind of strange that she didn't get involved. If somebody's beating my baby's father down, I'm jumping in. Like, I'm taking off a high heel shoe. I'm clunking somebody in the head. Somebody's going to go to the hospital besides us. You know, I'm just saying, guys, that's just me. But, you know, like I said, this is like, sounds like a toxic relationship where, and there's tons of questions that people want answers to. And guys, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I got your back. We'll get Cece back on this show to answer these questions. Okay. So keep that in mind. But, you know, like she said, she shared some personal things and he knew some personal things about her. And, you know, it's kind of crazy that, you know, he would torment her with things about her mother's past life and then try to use it against her. Like, I know, you know, your mom does this, your mom does that, you're my kid's mother, you're never going to be anything. I mean, this is really torturous to a person. This is really, really bad. You know, it's really bad. And I tell you what, guys, I've had a number of people sending messages throughout Cece's story on the show. And I'm going to have Cece come back next week to address some of the questions because, you know, a lot of women actually are sending messages. They want to know, you know, why did she stay with him? Why did she want to be with him? You know, it's really kind of crazy because he still wants to be with his family. And listen, 40-year-old woman dating a 24-year-old man boy. He's a man boy. He's not even a real man yet. You know, he may have the physical appearance of a man, but he's still a man boy. You know, 24 years old, he barely has chest hairs on his chest. You know, he hasn't, I'm really trying to think, you know, 40 years old with a man boy, you know, kind of reminds me of, you know, Snowfall. The guy, the little kid man boy, he had no facial hair. He had no hair on his chest. Man boy, you guys know Snowfall. Quite sure you've seen that series. But I mean, it's like, I had to really think about that for a minute, guys, because there's a lot of women out here that are cougars. They don't want the older guys anymore. They want the young guys that are vibrant, you know, fun. They don't go to bed at 9 o'clock. You know, it's rough for you guys. I get it. You know, you get tired early. You got to keep, you know, vitamins in your system to keep moving and keep going. You know, at some point in time, you're going to need a little sexual enhancement of some drug of sort to keep you guys going, especially if you're not physically fit. Then you sit around and you eat bonbons all day. And then you got the beer gut going on. And listen, it's a two-way street. And you know, guys, I'm not biased. Some women are eating bonbons too and sitting on their turkey rump, you know, and things are not moving either at home. So I'm not going to be biased when I have this conversation on how people need to think about your health, stay in shape, join a gym, go for a walk, go bicycle riding. People do ride their bicycles in the winter, believe it or not. You know, it's very healthy. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because if he's dating a 40-year-old versus his 23-year-old child's mother, kind of makes you wonder, like, he really wants a sugar mama. Like, he doesn't want to work. I got a 40-year-old. Then he shows up at Cece's house with a sock in the eye, you know? So it's more like it may be an abusive relationship that he's endured where he's with an older woman. I take care of you. You're going to do as I say. So she's treating him more like a son, you know, especially if he's lipping back and being the cop caller that Cece says that he is. You know, it may be that he's being abused in that relationship with this older woman who may be a mom figure and not a girlfriend figure. More like incest. That's what it seems like. You know, it's crazy. Because, you know, I just got another message from a gentleman that says, you know, we're old men. We don't go to bed at 9 o'clock. Yes, you guys do. You guys get tired around 9 if you're not at work. Because, you know, you can't sleep on the job either. You'll get in trouble. But, you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting because that was like really a crazy thing. I can't even imagine if I had a 24-year-old son. That my son, and I do have stepsons, by the way, that I totally adore. My oldest stepson is in the military. So, you know, and he's a gem. He's a true gem. He's a unbelievable child, I must say. But I can't imagine that he would be entertaining a 40-year-old woman that could possibly have grandchildren, you know, something to think about, guys. You know, that's why it takes men to be men with these boys that are being raised. So you can share some knowledge with them about how not to be a victim to an older woman preying on your youth. It's that topic is so broad that, you know, it's going to take me more than an hour to cover. And I know I can't cover it in 2 minutes. But next week, guys, we'll have Cece back on the show. We will have her answer the questions that you guys want answers to. We'll do a follow-up on, you know, a couple of other topics that we talked about in the past to keep you guys updated, you know, some juicy scoops. And then we also have that $20,000 ring giveaway that will be given away Christmas Day, as a matter of fact, that will be recorded and will be played on the show for the beginning of the year for the couple that will receive this ring. They are a phenomenal couple. It took me a little while to figure out who would deserve such a great ring. This guy, he's been through it all with his wife. They've been married for, I believe it's 46 years, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I know it's for a very long time. But I'd like to thank you guys for coming out today. It is officially 9.4 million people listening on the air today. Thank you all for listening. I enjoy having you every Tuesday. See you next week. Same bat place, same bat time. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night, guys.
Listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.